You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura of Football Tuesday, CBD. Good conversation with Solomon Wilcots from
CBS.
Great
conversation.
He broke down a lot of interesting things, and I liked the points he made, especially about just this challenge and what it means to the Browns to, you know, first of all, get pressure on Andy Dalton. He called him a game. He used the GM label, which game manager, which quarterbacks hate, but that is what Dalton is. And I think the one place where you might look at this Bengals game, and we're going to get more heavily into it as the week goes on, but just the quick look right now of hopefulness is the Browns' strength is rushing the passer. Their weakness is generally their secondary. Can they do enough rushing the passer to just make Andy, if he's ordinary or slightly above, less than ordinary? Is that right. possible?
I think it is possible. Yeah. Absolutely. I think he's been fairly ordinary thus far this year. And, you know, yeah. he didn't need to do a whole lot to beat the Steelers. His numbers, they didn't beat the Green Bay Packers because Andy Dalton threw them in that game. He had 235 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He certainly played well, but you know, he can be a little bit ordinary at times, and I think you need to put him in situations. It'd be good for the Browns to be able to get up, kind of pin their ears back on the pass rush, but that's a tall order. Yeah. This is not, while Cincinnati is very, very solid, I don't think they are spectacular, and that is why a team like the Browns can hang around with them and eke one out here. But I think you're right. You need the onus to be on Andy Dalton. With the way the run defense is playing, the onus is going to be on the opposing quarterback more often than not. The key for the Browns, as it was in week one and week two when they played great defensively, it's getting themselves over 20 points to be able to compete, and that will be the challenge against this Cincinnati team. And I know I've said all along, Josh Gordon's going to change this offense. This is the best defense that Josh Gordon – this defense is a lot better than what Minnesota showed so far this year.
There's no doubt. And the thing that worries me also about the Browns defense is seeing – of course, Jabal Sheard, still gimpy. I mean, he's coming back from – he has that knee injury, and, you know, your immediate sense here is that his availability is going to be a question mark for Sunday. And that's a big loss because he played what Chudzinski called his best game of the season, and I thought he played pretty darn well in that opener against Miami.
And played you certainly and I heard, love, yeah.
you know, heard
love
from him in the other two games as well. But he played his best game against Minnesota, so taking him out of the equation – could be a problem, and you know, others will say, yeah, but you got Barkevious Mingo, and you know, and that's the, and the other thing is seeing the health of some of the rest of this front seven, which again is a question mark. Where is the overall health of this front seven? And I think there's a key loss if Shear's not in there.
I agree, because Mingo's going to have to play the most that he's played yet this year. We're going to have to see how he's able to hold up in run defense, because clearly he can get to the passer. But what we don't know yet is what Barkevious Mingo can do if he's out there every down trying to stuff the run, given, you know, his frame, etc. So that will be a big test if Sheard's not able to go, because Quinn Groves not expected to be back yet, right, from his high ankle sprain. And that's a big loss. And I love, Quinn Groves, okay, we've talked about it. We love his moxie. We liked his stones, his chutzpah, as it were, Vic. And that could be a challenge for this team. But hopefully, you know, Mingo's going to be up to the test. Certainly will be on passing downs. And I think that's why for the Browns to win on Sunday, they have to get up early, whether they get a turnover, whether they get a return, whether they get a couple touchdowns on offense on their first two possessions. If they can get up early, it's going to set them up to have much more success. This will be a very, 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 very difficult team to try to play come-from-behind football against, given how good they are defensively against the pass.
And like every other game that the Browns are going to play, it's on the defense to set this tone and to do this. And whether Sheard is in there or not, or Groves is in there or not, they're still going to be expected to do so. And I think at home is where your pass rush should make its biggest statement, because you're going to have, you hope, the help of your crowd. And I'm hopeful, you know, this was I had my doubts, obviously, last week. As much acrimony and hatred and all kinds of vicious stuff that spewed from the so-called fan base of the Browns over the Trent Richardson trade, I just wondered, you know, who's showing up for the next home game that is coming up after this Minnesota game. I'm hopeful
now. Good thing they won.
I'm hopeful now that people can see at least some value in sticking around and seeing what this team does, that there's at least a curiosity there as to what this is, and that's what they'll need. And I'll tell you what, it made for – I mean, it's not, it's a whole different environment in a dome than an open air environment. I know that, but as you know, that was an 0-2 team that became an 0-3 team in Minnesota. That crowd generated incredible amounts of noise, and when they weren't booing Christian Ponder, they were certainly in passing situations making it extremely difficult from a noise standpoint for Brian Hoyer and that offense to function, and they ultimately were able to do so. But you need that sort of help for your pass. I think when you've got what you're used to seeing in, say, Minnesota with Jared Allen and so forth, although the Browns O-line did a reasonably good job of keeping it, a better job than they've done, I think, in all three games, the best. But I think just to make it that much harder on Cincinnati to deal with this rush, because I think this rush plus crowd noise is what amps it up. We heard that. We saw that in the Miami game.
We certainly did see that in the Miami game, and it can help, and that's what the Browns are going to need to get ahead, get the crowd fired up, and unleash this pass rush. One other thing we haven't talked about at all that I thought was interesting and I'd like to point out, we didn't talk about it, and I think that's a great thing, is O'Neal Cousins. I don't think O'Neal Cousins has gotten the fanfare that he should have gotten, given how well I think he played against the Minnesota Vikings in that game. He was, believe it or not, the highest graded member of the Browns offensive line by Pro Football Focus in week number three, after being literally the worst in the league at his position after the first 2 weeks. So I thought O'Neal Cousins really stepped up, and that was good to see. Mitchell Schwartz still gave up a sack, but I felt like he made a little bit of progress himself. But a tip of the cap to O'Neal Cousins. I think he came a long way in 2 weeks in, as you said, a hostile environment, a tough place to play as an offensive lineman.
He needed it. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Want to hear from you. Want your tweets, by the way, as well, at Browns_daily. Make sure you're logged into that. And we're going to get into more of your calls. I know some of you are on the line. We're also going to, at about 2:15, hear from Ataba Rubin, sitting down with our own Jameer Howerton. And then at 2:30, it's Jerod Cherry will be with us in his regular spot here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR.